So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, everyone. I'm Miss H.
And I'm obviously Mr. O.
And we're going to be talking about Love is Blind. I almost said Love After Lockup, but we took over this podcast channel, and we're going to be covering Love is Blind to keep us all entertained in our time of self-quarantining.
Yeah, social distancing, self-quarantining, self-isolation. I don't know what what term we're supposed to be using. But
I know, right? So we kind of are deciding whether or not to recap the show because it kind of falls in the same category of train wreck, dumpster fire, in which is the basis of all the shows that we tend to recap.
Also, specifically like relationship too. It can't just be regular dumpster fire. It has to be a romantic dumpster fire. That's what we're looking for.
Yes, that's true. Well, we decided to cover this show, which is on Netflix. And I appreciate the fact that we don't have to sit through commercials.
I appreciate the fact that people can cuss.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Just a little bit of background about how we're kind of viewing all of this. I have seen the entire season. And I told Mr. O kind of halfway through me watching this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a glorious dumpster fire mess. You need to watch this. So he jumped up on board and decided to watch it too. So we're definitely, I would like to say that we're coming in this with a fresh perspective, but we do actually know what's going to happen. And I do think it kind of taints it just the tiniest bit. So I hope we don't spoil anything.
Yeah, I mean, it actually makes it a little bit easier, I feel like, to recap, because one thing I noticed when I watched this first episode again, we see a lot of these people this episode and then never again. They're in like for one or two scenes and that's it. They just disappear for the rest of the season.
So we do know we don't need to focus on them because you probably will never see them again. This show is hosted by Vanessa Lachey and obviously Nick Lachey, which they're barely in this show.
They do like the weird introduction at the beginning, and that's it. They were in like the first, 5 minutes, maybe?
Right. The show starts off with, I believe it appears that there's at least 40 to 50 people, about 25 to 30 girls, 25 to 30 boys. And we start off with them having these speed dates. And then they kind of make these lists and they narrow it down and then they spend a little bit more time with one another when there's like mutual matches. And so the first few episodes are basically them going on these dates, which are kind of these weird blind interviews, getting to know each other as much as they can to get to the point of engagement. Big picture, they are trying to get towards engagement. Not everyone gets engaged. And then even of the couples that do get engaged, not all of them are featured on the show later. There are a lot of people that we almost never see again.
Yeah, there's a lot of culling, which, I mean, it probably makes it better because you don't get stuck with duds. Like, I feel like sometimes the other shows we watch, especially we watch 90 Day Fiancé, sometimes they're just stuck all season with just people that are not very interesting. Whereas this one, if you start with 40 people, you can probably get it down to like 5 or 6 people that are just the train wrecks that you want to see and not just the boring couples that just get along and nothing happens and boring, happy lives, whatever.
The first two episodes are especially difficult to recap because, you know, it's basically all these individuals and they're all kind of intertwined in some way, except for why don't we start off with Lauren and Cameron, because they're the only two that really aren't intertwined with other people.
I think we see Cameron in like one other person's pod at some point. I can't even remember who. And they're just like, they just don't hit it off. And so it just is like a real short thing. We have Lauren and Cameron, who are the ones who, at the end of the first episode, get engaged. And they're the only ones at the end of the first episode that have been proposed to and accepted.
So we have Cameron from Lee, Maine. He's 28. They tell us that Cameron works with AI, which I'm like, this is my kind of guy. But then they like refer to him as a scientist after that. And I was a little...
That's not a scientist.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Like, maybe computer scientist.
Which is not science.
No, it definitely isn't.
It's much closer to engineering than it is to science.
okay, actually, that's kind of funny because I teach computer science and my district actually has me written down as a science teacher. And I'm like, that's not what it is. But anyways, then we have Lauren Speed, 32, from Detroit. But they are both, even though that this is where they're from, everybody on the show is currently living in Atlanta.
That's what I had heard that or somewhere. I guess the studio was in Atlanta and they just like got people from around the area. Just did a local casting call. We ain't flying nobody nowhere. It was done on the cheap. That was something we do know about the show.
I think they were funding this show without anyone really picking it up. And so it was kind of like also blind faith that this show would somehow make it. So someone was having to front the money. So definitely everything was on the cheap. And I will take this time to mention, kind of going along with doing it on the cheap, two of the cast members who I can't even recall their names because they're definitely not one of the main people once we start to get out of this pod dating, did Ask Me Anythings on Reddit. And so people were kind of asking them, you know, about their situations, how they got asked to be on the show, what's the casting process like. So a couple things that came out of it is one is that they were mostly recruited off of Tinder, it seems like, or Instagram. So those were the two platforms and no one applied to the show. These people were found by producers. The other thing that's kind of come out about this show, keeping it on the cheap, is that the living quarters that they keep on showing, which look like these gorgeous big living rooms, which you would imply would be some kind of mansion, is just kind of a front because everybody is living in these trailers on some lot somewhere. Definitely doing it on the cheap. They couldn't even put these people up in a hotel.
That's the first I had heard about getting recruited off of Tinder, which is funny because at the beginning, everybody was talking about dating apps, dating apps, dating apps. And one thing that struck me as something I didn't kind of expect going into the show was that all of them were super hot.
Yes.
And I kind of thought there would be some sort of, you know, dramatic tension with having people get engaged to someone that they weren't particularly attracted to or they wouldn't have found attractive off of it. Because I don't know, it seems like the way they were all talking, these are all people who have no trouble getting any kind of Tinder match at all.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like everybody's just so shallow. Like they're definitely the ones who get like just 1,000 every day. And so it's a different kind of quote unquote fed up with dating that is in these people's world than a lot of other people experience.
I kind of wondered a little bit when they're all nervous about how their other person is going to look that they're talking to, because it's like, just look around. So all the girls get to interact with all the other women in the house and all the men get to interact with all the other men in the house. And it's kind of like, just look around at the people that you're sharing space with. They're all very attractive people. Like I would have looked around if I was on the show and I'd be like, wow, the other female contestants on the show are just super drop dead gorgeous.
I don't know, man, because you don't know what kind of reality show it is.
Oh, gosh, where they mess with you.
Yeah, it's like all the women are super hot and all the guys are just average or below average.
Joe Millionaire is what's coming to mind.
Exactly.
This isn't Love is Blind. This is Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, I definitely can see how in the reality TV realm that you would be messed with. I guess that would be a concern. So let's get back to Lauren and Cameron. They're already talking it up. They seem to have a connection right from the start. They're talking about just little stuff like what they would cook for each other, chicken and rice, what they would like, you know, in a relationship, what they do like in a relationship. She says that she likes feeling small. She thinks that she's a good judge of character. And based on her very limited interaction with Cameron, just decides, you know, like this guy, he could really be something.
What I was struck by is how weird it was that everybody was taking notes during the dates. And I understand why they were taking notes during the dates, because they go on 1,000, you know, quote unquote dates or pods or whatever. And you don't even see the person. So you have nothing to remember them by. So you have to write down, like, what did we talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is this one? I get that. But it was so weird to be having like intimate, trying to fall in love conversations while also like taking notes about what they're saying.
I don't know. I don't find that weird at all.
Do you take notes on regular dates?
No, but it's very different because you're only talking to one other person. It's very easy to remember things about one other person. It very much reminds me of, so I was in a sorority in college and like just formal recruitment. and you just talk to so many potential members that you can't remember everyone. So you have to jot down like quick notes about them, even if it's as silly and as simple as, and I mean, they obviously can't do this because, you know, they're not allowed to see each other, something like pencil thin eyebrows. And it was just like some quick little thing where I would remember, oh, pencil thin eyebrows. I remember exactly who I was talking to. You know, you got to write down something that is going to remind you about who you met, because you just meet so many people at one time. So, I mean, I get it.
Logistically, I get it. It just seems in an individual level, it's awkward. Because the other thing that's awkward is that nobody knew where to look, especially on the first dates. They're all just like weirdly like staring off into space, or some had notebooks, some are closing their eyes, laying on a couch. It was like you didn't have somebody to look at. And so it's like everybody's positioning was really, really weird.
Closing eyes, laying on the couch thing weirded me out. I was like, don't do that. That's creepy. Stop that. But I mean, I guess, you know, no one else gets to see that they're doing that. So whatever. So Lauren and Cameron, they really seem to bond over their family. They start talking about his mom's diagnosis with Parkinson's, and that's the last time it made him cry. And then she just starts crying because she starts thinking about her family. And they really super are on the same page when it comes to family. Okay, so I actually heard something interesting about their parents, and I definitely want to verify that this is true, but I heard that both their parents have the same names. Their dads both have the same name, and their moms both have the same name. I would think that if I had met someone that had the same names as my parents, I would be like, whoa, what's going on there?
It depends on how I felt about the person, because it would either be, oh, this seems like it was meant to be, or it would be, whoa, yeah, this is freaky. We need to back the hell off.
I don't know. I think it's really interesting. Let's just kind of sidebar, because I know we talk about this in the other shows. Fashion choices on this show were very interesting, considering no one can see them.
I was very confused because it was all over the place. Like the first day,
everybody's so dressed up.
Everybody was so dressed up. All the guys had suits on. You know, everybody was to the nines. The women all had the same
cocktail dresses.
Cocktail dresses, but basically what it was, right? And then, like, day two,
sweats come out.
Everybody was in sweats. Like, the guys all had cargo shorts on. There was a halter top or something, but, like, definitely sweats, pajama pants. But then they kept going back and forth. Like, later they would be dressed more up and other times. So I was, like, really confused the when they did that. Did they have wardrobe? Did they bring their own clothes? I didn't know how this worked.
So at some point, the reason why I bring this up is because Cameron says to Lauren that he dressed up for her. And he was definitely dressed nicely, but I was not into what he was wearing. He had these gross, like, orange ankle boot thingies on that did not match his collared blue shirt. I was like, that's very misguided fashion choice. But at least she doesn't have to see that.
No, she just gets to know that he tried. So I thought it was funny. Another thing that happened along the way while we're talking about these two is I thought some of the more interesting parts were the parts where they showed people that didn't match at all. And one of those was with Lauren, because the guy, like, on the first date, on the first talk, was like, I'm going to guess that you're black.
That guy was like, such an asshole. I hated that guy. And it's not even because he just, I mean, that's part of the reason why I thought he was an asshole. But I think the bigger part was that the kinds of questions he was asking was basically trying to skirt the situation at hand. He was basically trying to ask them what they looked like. You know, like, oh, are you tall? Are you skinny? Do you have dark hair? Do you have blue eyes? It's like you are missing the point of this show. The point of this show is to not know what they look like. So you asking the kinds of questions to kind of get an idea in your head of what they look like, you don't belong on the show. So I hope I never see you again. Yeah, which thankfully we don't. Yeah, I thought it was funny how she was trying to disguise her voice after that. Like, oh, is that how non-black people sound?
No, I am white.
But it was even how she said it. Like, it was like, okay, that's all right. That's interesting.
That's a thing. Sure.
They get engaged at the end, and it seems like it was only 3 days.
I think it was five. I think they said day five at the bottom.
Okay.
Okay, that was another one that was weird. He got down on one knee to propose. It's like, knowing that she can't see that. He got down at one knee and put a ring up to a wall.
Aww.
Which, I mean, two reasons. Either you're really into that and you're like, this is the way I want to do it. I don't care if anybody sees. Mm-hmm. But also knowing that she's probably going to watch the show. and would know if you were just sitting on the couch being like, yes, you mean so much to me.
Would you have rather him have been on the couch with his eyes closed, arms crossed, asking that way? Because I feel like that's how a lot of these conversations went.
I suppose that's correct. But I don't know, I felt like the more these people feel emotionally connected, the more boring their conversations get. I just feel like so connected. Yeah. It's like so scary and amazing. And I'm connected. And OB. I don't know. I got really bored. I really wanted to fast forward, but I was taking notes.
So I was watching this with my sister, and she wanted to fast forward through a lot of the show, except for she really loved Lauren and Cameron. So she tried to fast forward, and I was like, no. I have to actually take notes. Like, you can't fast forward through this. By the end of the first episode, they are engaged. And so at the beginning of the next episode is when we get a reveal. So we're only covering the first episode today, so we will move on.
Let's go with Carlton. That was somebody who didn't really match up with a bunch of other people. Carlton with his sparkly, sparkly beard.
I will say that when I first watched the show and I saw Carlton, who is 34 from Opelousas, Georgia, I did not like him. The reason why I didn't like him when I first saw him was because he just seems really shallow. He was talking about what he kind of wants in a woman, and it just seemed all physical. And so it's like, I don't know. Are you really kind of the right person to go on a show like this? Because it just seems like there's some kind of ulterior motive. And I do feel like there's some kind of ulterior motive because people have identified him as being an assistant on, I want to say, Hip Hop Atlanta. And so he's been on a reality show before. I don't know. He just seems like a clout chaser. So I definitely got those vibes at the beginning. So when I first saw Carlton, not a fan.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought about Carlton the first time I saw him, because it was one of those ones I wasn't sure if I was going to see him for the rest of his show. So I don't know if I bothered making a first impression.
Oh, I immediately didn't like him, especially because he talks about, how are all the girls going to see how fly I am with my beard and my jacket?
And wasn't he wearing like a purple suit or something? It was weird.
It was very shiny. I am not personally into beards, so I also thought it was kind of funny that, you know, he felt like he was at a disadvantage because no one could see his beard.
They, all of them had beards.
That's true.
There were like three clean-shaven guys, and none of them match with anybody. I think literally everybody who ends up with a fiance has a damn beard. They're not as like long as Carlton's. He has the longest beard.
We see Carlton talking with Diamond, 28, who's from Chicago. And Diamond is a professional sports dancer. And so she says that because of what she doesn't always attract the most well-intentioned men.
That's skins, because at some point she did not take too well to the joke about her being a stripper. That was another reject. She was just like, oh, nope, you made the stripper joke. Get out. I'm done with you.
I will forever hold this against you. You're the worst.
It's done. Just step.
She does your favorite thing. She refers to her future husband as a king.
I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it really, really does. It just sounds weird. Actually, there is a charter school in DC that instead of calling their students, I don't know why you're not supposed to call them students anymore. Like, we have an administrator that calls all of our students scholars. She's like, there's too many scholars in the hallway. There's a school in DC. It's an all-male charter school, and they refer to their students as kings.
Oh,
I don't know. It's, you can't have more than one king. That's like,
when everybody's special, no one's special. That's what that kind of reminds me of. Carlton, he kind of dives into, from the very beginning, like things that he wants in a relationship. He wants to be able to go to Vegas for his bachelor party and not have anyone tell him that he can't.
So he could dance on the tables in Vegas. That's what he wants to do in Vegas, as he dances around the room. Not particularly well.
He says that he's a preacher's kid. He wants to be loved unconditionally, and that, you know, people think because he's a preacher's kid, he has so much confidence. I was like, do they?
I always thought preacher's kids were scared of everything, actually. That's what I associate. Like your dad is so confident and important that you just like feel like they're responsible for their behavior to a level that other kids aren't.
Yeah, I would think that too. Or you have like the rebellious kid, one or the other. He wants a ride or die. You know, she's really good at kind of comforting him and kind of saying the right things. She wants him to go to Vegas because she wants her king to have fun. And she thinks that the past is the past and that you can't hang on to it. So I feel like she's saying all the right things that Carlton's kind of like, yeah, this could be a thing.
Well, especially when she says the past is the past thing, because Carlton has something that he is very concerned with. And it's one of those things we've talked about in other shows. Something is a big deal when you make it a big deal.
He's making this such a big deal.
Such a big deal, then it does not have to be. The big deal is in the past, he's dated both men and women. That's it. Which, to me, I don't care. I can't even imagine that being like a huge, big secret or something. If you know.
You're attracted to both. I mean, if you're committing to one person, who cares what gender that one person is? Same rules apply.
Yeah, you still can't cheat on me. Exactly.
So who cares if you're attracted to different sexes? Yes, you still should be faithful. So I don't think it really matters. Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal either. I do think it's interesting that he specifically says that he wants to have a wife. So he wants to marry a woman. And it's kind of like, but why? And I really got the impression that he wants these kind of traditional gender roles at home.
That's what I got. He wanted, because he said something about he wants the nurturing nature of women or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was like, yeah, that made me feel more gross about him than the fact that he dated men in the past. The fact that he is specifically looking for a woman because what he wants is the traditional gender roles. That's like a bad reason to want that.
And then he ominously says he fears that someone won't accept him at the last minute. And I was like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, you're going to wait for them to, like, almost marry you, and then all of a sudden they're going to be like, nope, I changed my mind. Well, if you wait until the last minute to tell them, then yes, you probably need to worry about that.
Exactly.
All right, so let's move on to talking about Barnett, because Barnett is actually the one who called Diamond or referred to her name as being a stripper name.
Barnett has a style.
Douche.
Yes, but it clearly works for him. He is an attractive enough guy where he can get away with that. Because making stripper jokes and like breaking the ice with mildly inappropriate jokes is what he does with every woman.
Yes. Barnett is definitely a bro. This is like your typical fraternity brother, like bro dude. I don't like the guy. I hate exactly what you're saying. It's like, this is the kind of guy who immediately, right off the bat, will throw in some kind of inappropriate sex joke just to see how down you are. He's like putting out the feelers like, oh, did they think it's fun? Okay, good. That person's going to be down. Or, oh, no, like I'm so offended. Okay, that girl's prudish. And I feel like he's immediately kind of putting out the feelers who would be down. And that's why he like throws in these little inappropriate jokes. And I hate that guy.
That's exactly what he does. That's exactly who he is. He certainly brings in a type, because I feel like among the women, because we see some of the women talking to each other in their little like fake living room. We see a lot of that. And it just really seems like he was a big split. Like it was either they love Barnett or they were like, ew, that guy? No, I kicked him out after 5 minutes.
Which basically was Diamond, because she was super offended that he said that she had a stripper name. And so she was just so over it. But, you know, he's saying those kinds of things because, you know, she could definitely lean into that and be like, oh, yeah, well, I thought about stripping. Or, oh, funny you should say that. I'm a dancer. She could have definitely leaned into it, like flirted back, but she didn't. So what does that tell Barnett? She's not cool. She's not down. Moving on. Let's talk about who is down for Barnett. First of all, we have Amber. Amber is into him. She even describes him later to the other girls and says, yeah, we get along because we're both perverts.
Amber is Amber. Okay, as much as you didn't like Barnett, I feel like I really didn't like Amber. Did you know she was in the army, by the way?
Oh my gosh, what?
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Did you know she ran with the guys because she was in the army and she could hang with the guys? You know why? Because she was in the army. Did you know that?
Because she's a boys girl, right? Okay, I'm not saying I didn't like her either. Like, I had a list of garbage people. Okay, my garbage crew. She is definitely in my garbage crew here. We got Amber Pike. She's 26 from Augusta, Georgia. She thinks she's the shit. She keeps on talking about how she's so cute. And then she almost ruins it by snorting the first time she laughs at Barnett's joke.
Now, everybody knows the cute girl that snorts is like crack to bros. Like, that is just, oh, there's something uncute about you. That gives me an in. You're not too perfect. That is a play. As much as Barnett's jokes are a play, the snorting and being like, oh, I snorted, is the same thing. The one that bothered me the most about her, she introduced herself by saying, like, people think because I'm cute, I can't hold on an intellectual conversation. She didn't say anything approaching intellectual the entire time we saw her.
I was in the army and I was a cheerleader and I'm super cute and guys just don't know how to talk around me because, like, I can totally hang with them and all their friends want me to. And yeah, she is fake laughing at him so hard. And you could tell she's really into him, but us as the audience has to deal with her, like, at all his jokes. I was just like, oh my gosh, get me out of this date. I can't deal with it.
They were both clearly really into it, so I guess to each his own. I just didn't want to have to watch it myself.
He was asking her, like, asking about sex questions, things like that.
However, what I did like about Amber is they did have a reject scene with Amber where it was Amber and Carlton, and she was talking about her life, and he's on the other side, like, falling asleep on the couch, like, getting up, being like, I'm so bored.
Finally, he just walked out. I was like, good for you, but I feel like you're both in the garbage crew, so, you know, garbage walking out on garbage.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want to see, see, there was a guy that wasn't into you.
Amber and Barnett seem to be hitting it off, but then again, Barnett and two other girls are also hitting it off. Why don't we cover LC first? So LC, she's 26 from Tampa, Florida, and there really doesn't seem to be a whole lot featured, but I just want to throw her in the mix. She seems like a really down-to-earth girl. I actually really liked her a lot more than Amber. She seems spirited, adventurous, but I will say one thing. That he basically mentions marriage to all three of the girls that he's kind of featured with on this episode. He tries to get them thinking about him and marriage. Oh, when we get married, when we walk out of here, and every single one of the girls are falling for this crap. And he's just like,
oh, it's just, what is his job? Do we hear what his job is? Because that is like a sales technique. Like, you have to act like it's already a done deal and just keep going on with that. Like, so when you get your new car and you're going to do this and this and this, you're like, hold on a second. Wait. I haven't bought this car yet.
Except these girls are so desperate. They're like, yes, wait, what? Marriage. You said marriage and me in the same sentence. Oh my gosh. We could be married.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Even though I can't see you, I can totally see it. I can't believe I'm thinking that. That's so crazy.
So Barnett is actually an engineer, but my sister, when I was watching with her, she was like, oh, but he's got a good job. He's an engineer. I was like, bullshit. I'm pretty sure he works construction. I don't know how that qualifies as engineer specifically, but I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah, I gotta see. I'm sure he's not a PE. Because sometimes you're right. They call, like, the foreman guy or the guy who, like, runs the crane is the crane engineer.
You know what kind of engineer he is to me? He's the sanitation engineer of this garbage truck show. Like, he's leading the garbage people.
Well, you know
what,
though? That's unfair. Because as we learned through this social isolation, garbage people are actually very important. And they, like, hold everything together. The people on this show, not so much.
Fair enough. Then we have his third person, who is Jessica. Oh, Jessica.
Oh, Jessica.
Let's start at the beginning with her, because she definitely is heavily featured on this show. Jessica Batten, she is 34. She's originally from Chicago, Illinois. She wants to have the most perfect marriage. She's picky. She'll only date a guy who's certain height, certain age range. She loves Chicago sports, and she makes the best Italian beef.
So is she the oldest person here?
Yes and no. They definitely featured some other lady who was older than Jessica, because Jessica's, what, 34? And then there was someone else that they interviewed, Lele or something like that, Lily or something like that. And she was like 36. And so there are a couple of, like, fringe characters that are featured in the main rooms, but they didn't show them once in a pod dating. Actually, we'll get to her. I think she was involved in the conversation where they were talking about, does size matter? Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll kind of, like, lump in all the random conversations at the end. But back to Jessica.
He does the same thing. He leads off with a, are you asking what my favorite position is?
And she's into it.
She just eats it up. She just eats everything up, he says.
She makes bad life choices. Let's be real here. Like, there's a reason why this woman is single at 34. And it is not because she lacks personality or looks. She has those things. The thing she lacks is the ability to make good life choices with men that are of value and care for her.
This had come up, I think it was in another person's thing, but she had talked about, like, she had just gotten out of a relationship with, like, a 41-year-old who was, like, way too pushy. And, like, it seems like they all said that same sort of thing. As soon as I start to like somebody, I push them away.
That's a thing. But I mean, like, recognizing it is kind of the first step in making a change. But it's like, people like Jessica, to me, it's like they recognize, like, you know, I haven't picked, like, the best partners in the past. But then it's like they recognize it and then continue to do that.
Well, I feel like that's part of the reason they were, like, signed up for slash were excited for this show, is because after they do that, they continue to pick partners based on looks and go for it. But I feel like this is a good example. They pick their partners based on looks, but looks aren't always objective things. It's how they present themselves. Those are all things that aren't, you know, genetically put out there. Confidence is what people are attracted to. And douchey guys are really confident usually. And so you can tell the way Barnett's even talking, the way he's coming across, the douchey way he talks kind of carries that confidence. And you can kind of guess what he looked like before you saw him.
Oh, I feel like he has some kind of idea of what she looks like just based on how she talks. Because he says he loves talking to her. And it's like, but they haven't talked about anything deep. I mean, even Jessica says, you know, we haven't talked about anything, like, serious. So it's just basically, like, her voice. He really is into her voice. And I think based on how she talks, he kind of has an image of what she may look like.
She has a very stereotypically girly voice. She has the vocal fry. She has the up talk. So, yes, he does. He has an image that is probably pretty close to what she looks like.
I think so. I definitely think her voice matches, like, what she looks like. Then we start to get kind of these competitive situations, because the men all hang out with the men and the women all hang out with the women, and they kind of have conversations about their dates. And so definitely we hear the women talking, and Jessica hears that Amber is super into Barnett. And all of a sudden Jessica's like, huh? And I definitely feel like there's certain kinds of people. And I mean, this is definitely more evident when you're in high school than it is, like, in the adult world. But when you're in high school, it was kind of like just this weird competitiveness. Like, there would be some guy that is arguably not that attractive, but because one girl's into him, all of a sudden a slew of other girls are into him too. And it's just like this weird thing where it's like this weird competition for this mediocre guy's attention, but it's only because it's competition that makes it interesting. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening here, is the fact that Jessica heard Amber was into Barnett, all of a sudden he has more value. And now Jessica is like, she's in it to win it.
It makes sense because this is more of a high school situation, right? There's a limited supply of guys, and you're kind of put in there, and that's literally the only way you have to compete with anybody, because you're totally right. I mean, we both work at high schools, and I've seen it over and over again. I will see all this drama for girls, and I'm like, this is about who now?
Yes, this mediocre guy. Like, that come guy? On. There's so many more and there's so many of them. You don't need to double up. There's no reason.
Right. There are plenty of awkward, gangly guys.
Yes, let me point some out to you. That guy right there. And I think it also works the other way, too, because all of a sudden, you know, this guy, Mark Barnett, hears talking about Jessica. And all of a sudden, Barnett's like, ooh, Jessica. I think Jessica might be, like, moving to the top of my list now. Yeah.
Because I don't think she was. Like, they got along okay. They got along fine. I mean, it's very flirty, but I would have guessed that he was more into Amber than Jessica until we heard Mark talk about Jessica.
So let's talk about Mark. Mark is 24. He is also originally from Chicago. And him and Jessica immediately hit it off because they're from the same area. They're both into the Bears. They're both into the Cubs. They were talking about all the Chicago things. They're both Christian. They both want to have kids. And so in terms of values, they definitely seem to have lined up.
I felt like they, I would say a deeper connection. They hit it off better than Barnett and Jessica.
Because what did Jessica and Barnett have in common other than the fact that she liked his sex jokes?
I mean, did Barnett talk about anything besides? I guess he kind of did because he tried to sell that when we're married stuff.
Yeah.
Because we're going to loop back around to how Barnett was sabotaging this pairing. I'm glad I'm not dating these people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would definitely leave that show just being like, well, guess I'm done.
I mean, these are our featured garbage people, right? There were a ton of people in the background that, you know, we never heard from again. So, I mean, we can't say everybody on this show. And I'm not going to lie. Like, if I was, you know, matched up with Cameron, I would not be sad about life. I would think it would be successful.
Fair enough.
I mean, I also want to say that Lauren and Cameron are a very cute couple and I support them. And in no way am I trying to say like, oh, I would be a better match. But, you know, I'm just saying I would not be sad about being matched with Cameron.
Anyway, I say this because of Mark's tattoo that he has. He got a cross with his mom and dad's name on it. I don't know. There were some things already on the cross. A psalm. It seemed like an overly complicated tattoo that he got on his ribs. But he left two plaques blank for his two children so he could put their names in it. I was like, dude, what if you have three kids? What if you have one kid? What if you decide to give him a really long name? What if it doesn't fit? I'm like, so much what ifs with this stupid ass tattoo.
What if you never have two kids? What if you only have one?
And now you have a blank thing on this tattoo for the rest of your life. Oh.
Someone who's into symmetry, I'm not about that, but
I always judge people on their bad tattoo choices.
I mean, it seemed to sell Jessica on it. But what did not sell Jessica on Mark is the fact that he's 24, which almost immediately becomes an issue for Jessica.
Out of her age range.
She brings it up so many times. And this is where she brings up the 41-year-olds, because she says that she felt pressured into having a certain kind of life, like speeding things along, like getting married, having kids, because mm-hmm. her older boyfriend felt that way. And so she doesn't want to feel that way, you know, speeding Mark along at the age of 24 to having kids if he's not ready. But I mean, for the love of God, he has a tattoo waiting for his kid's name on it. So I think he's ready.
That's usually the sticking point is the kids, right? I know a lot of people who are like, oh, I want to have kids. They're always just like, but not yet, but not yet, but not yet. Now the tattoo is a different thing. At one point, Mark says something about age is a mindset. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, there is more to age than just a mindset. And you do have to think, maybe not right now it's going to be an issue, but it's going to be hard when, you know, she's ready to retire and you still have to work for 10 more years. And, like, those kind of things can be there. And, like she said, the kids thing, because you can both kind of be at the same place right now. But she doesn't have a whole lot of time if she wants to have kids to make kids happen. If he's ready, but it is a bigger issue than Mark thinks it is. Maybe not as big of an issue as Jessica thinks it is.
It doesn't really make a difference, because the fact that he finds out Barnett is into Jessica makes all of a sudden Jessica more valuable. And so once he realizes that someone else is in the mix, he's got to step up his game. So he is definitely laying it on thick. He tells her that he knew after she just said, hey, that she was the one.
It's funny because she mentioned that her 41-year-old boyfriend was trying to speed things along because he is trying to speed things along. I think Jessica was still his number one choice before that, but he definitely was like,
okay, I need to get there faster.
I gotta lock this down.
Yes, I gotta lock it down. Absolutely.
And so he lays on like, so if I told you I wanted to be with you forever, where would your head be at? And this is probably like on like day three or so. And she's just too polite.
She gives him hope without ruling it out.
She kind of plays along, and that's something that is common. She does it for the rest of this episode.
Yes.
Just kind of like she's never going to say, no, that's too much. No, that's too fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. She's going to go, yeah, I could see that. Sure.
I think that date really stressed her out, because at the end of their date, did you see her leaving the pod? She was carrying the entire bottle of wine. She just left with it. She's like, I'm going to need all of this. Then Barnett has a conversation with Rory, the resident, I don't know, counselor? But he isn't really a resident counselor. I thought he was a production plant at first to get them to talk about everything. But no, apparently he's another contestant on the show.
But we don't see him other than that, right? He looks like, to me, I thought he looked like Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker. But yeah. That's just me.
So basically, Rory advises him, you know, like, you just can't hurt people. You need to not string people along. You just need to be all in. But that's hard for Barnett because Barnett is indecisive because Barnett doesn't know what the hell he wants.
Barnett is used to just putting a bunch of feelers out there and then kind of reeling in whichever one bites.
I definitely feel like, yeah, that is his strategy.
He's not used to three people biting. He's like, oh, I don't know how to catch three fish at the same time.
Barnett definitely reminds me of guys that I wouldn't necessarily say that I've dated, but I've seen in the dating world. He's definitely a numbers guy. He's just throwing out there, seeing who's down, you know, like, oh, she seems kind of down. Okay, like, I'll try hook up with her. And he's not about a serious relationship. Like, nothing about this guy seems like, yeah, that's a guy who's ready to get married. Nothing.
Absolutely not. This seems like a guy that they recruited off Tinder, and he is just used to, you know, I got five conversations going on. Let me see which one is going to bite, and we'll hook up with her and then do it again next weekend. Like, that is totally his play. And yeah, the idea of it, he's going to settle down and get married and have kids? No, I don't see that at all.
No, not at all. But he's in it for the competition. So when Barnett hears that Mark is also into Jessica, they have a date, and that he thinks that she's telling everyone the same thing. And he says, don't blow smoke up my ass.
Yeah, so he hard sells her. And the hard sell starts with acting all distant and upset.
He's all butthurt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to make them feel like they did something wrong and they got to win you back.
And she's like, what's wrong? And then he thinks that he's been hearing things and it makes him doubt how she feels. And then she's like, well, that military girl's going to kick my ass. Amber definitely seems like she has a crazy streak in her.
And she has clearly already laid claim to Barnett.
Oh, absolutely. Barnett tells her that she's high on his list. And then he says the most ridiculous thing ever. He's like, if there was literally like no guys and no girls, I would propose right now. It's like, so what you're saying, if there is no one else, like literally no one else, you are the last person.
If I didn't have another choice, I would propose to you.
If I had no options and you had no options, yeah, then I would propose. And idiot Jessica swoons like, oh my God, he wants to marry me. I've never heard anyone say something like this to before. No one's ever talked to me that way and talked about my life that I was like, you're an idiot. He literally said if you were each other's last choice, that then he would propose. And you somehow think it's this grand romantic thing that he's saying to you. Have some standards, girl.
This is just more of a competition. We said Mark came down there and tried to lock it down. Now Barnett's in there. He's trying to lock it. He's not even sure if this is the one he wants. He just wants to make sure it remains an option.
Then she tries to call him out on it and says like, okay, well, if that's how you feel, like I'll just pull the plug on the other dates. Then he says something super vague like, okay, well, I'm going to wait on what you decide. It's like, all right, I don't really understand what's happening here. But I definitely, from her perspective, see how she thinks that that might be a proposal. But also, that's kind of delusional. I feel like you're definitely filling in a lot of gaps here.
That is 100% true.
So let's kind of talk about the other random stuff we heard out and about, because I think we covered most of the actual dating drama, right?
That's what I see, yes.
Some of the things that were kind of talked about just in the girls' room was, does size or skill matter?
Production seeded this conversation, right? This is production. So what do you guys think about this? Okay, film it. Film it. Because it was funny because the one girl was basically like, well, it has to be big enough.
Right. She was like, you can't have a motion in the ocean if there's nothing to cause the motion.
It was convoluted, but it was like, I don't know, gotta be something.
Right. And then on the other side, the guys are having a conversation about, is anybody a virgin here? Because apparently this was a question that was on women's minds. And it's like, really?
The impression I got is that, okay, so there was one guy who was a virgin.
Right. Taylor.
Guaranteed, he said that to literally all of his dates. That came up in the conversation because he's kind of insecure about it.
Possibly, yes.
No, but not insecure. Not like he doesn't want to be a virgin anymore, but like it's like a choice that he's made and he knows it turns people off, so it's like going to come up. So I kind of got the impression that one of the women had asked one of the guys, are you a virgin? And he was like, that's a weird question. Did you talk to one already? Like, that's crazy. Why would you even think of that? And that was the impression I got is how it came up. Like, one of these women asked me this question, and it was, like, really weird. You would assume no.
I guess so. I have no idea. Carlton then, you know, butts in and says, like, it's important to sleep with someone before getting married.
Well, no, he asked, do you think it's important? And he asked, like, Barnett and somebody else. It was like, they won't sleep with somebody before they go on a second date. Who are you talking to? Like, come on.
He thinks it's important to have good sexual chemistry. That would be weird if they had, like, sex without seeing each other, though.
That's the new reality show you want? You want there to be, like, a screen and, like, no pants?
The sheet with the hole in it.
That's how the reveal happens? That's how you meet each other?
Oh, God, that's so concerning. No, I don't want that show. That's weird.
I don't know that you could be that in love with someone that you wanted to marry them and have there be no sexual chemistry at all.
I think the way the show is set up, it allows opportunities for it to happen if it seems like comfortable and natural. So, I mean, I can't think of a better way to kind of handle that. So,
yes, because there's no physical contact before they meet and before they've committed. So, yes, first physical contact with someone can be awkward and weird, but that's like, as terms of like, by the time you decide to actually marry someone, you've had, you know, enough experience with them that it's not awkward and weird. And where do I put my hands? No, I say this way, you know, oh, I like to lay on my left side, that kind, those kind of things. Who's the big spoon? I don't know. Like, those things kind of have already been worked out.
I think that was it for episode one. Did you have a student of the week?
I did. Cameron, I guess.
Okay.
He seemed like a normal person. And I don't know, the reality show. He was there for the right reasons.
Yes, he was. He was trying to test the hypothesis. Is love blind? Which I was just like, thought was really funny that they threw hypothesis and scientist.
Oh, I'm not a scientist. Huh?
Of course I would have a hypothesis.
Undergo the method. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sorry. My student of the week was actually a fringe character, Rory, for being the resident counselor and trying to talk some sense into these idiots.
And for all that, he just gets to not come back for the rest of the season. Your reward for trying to talk sense into these people is you get out. We don't want that.
Actually, it's really interesting. I think Rory was involved in an engagement.
Okay.
So that is kind of funny. They could have had him on the show. So like I mentioned at the beginning, there were a number of couples that got engaged that weren't featured later on in the show. And he apparently was involved in one of the ones that went a little bit further. So,
Okay.
So not completely loveless in all of this. Okay, what about your class dunce?
I feel like you already know based on my reaction when we talked about them. It's Amber.
Okay. Sure.
It's Amber, just for especially the part where she was just a dummy the whole time and introduced herself with, I'm actually really smart and people aren't ready to have a conversation with me.
Because I am so cute and they're just blinded by my beauty, so.
Because I'm not bad looking.
Yeah, so I don't even know. And let me just like nervously laugh at everything you say because I think it's really flirty. My dunce is actually Barnett. And I did not like how he was trying to put the feelers out for who's down to have sex. I did not like that he was pretty much trying to play everyone. He was just a player in this whole thing, which, fine, more power to you. You want to have sex with random people. You want to try keep a bunch of women on the line. Fine. But this is not the show for you then. Like, what are you doing?
There is way more efficient uses of your time. You could just do that in the real world.
Okay, what about your life lesson?
I'm going to just get this out of the way this time. Don't do this shit. Like, don't only talk to somebody for 5 dates, quote unquote dates, 5 hours at the most, and be like, let's get engaged. I love you. No. Okay, well, episode one. I promise I will never say that again for a life lesson.
So my life lesson is actually inspired from Amber and Jessica because I saw both of them doing this in their dates. I feel like they are trying to be a chameleon. And I see this happen a lot with women just in general who are dating. What I mean by that is that they have an idea of what they think that men like. And they try to be into that. And it's not necessarily like what their interests are.
Mm-hmm.
Like Amber and Jessica both trying to be guys' girls. They're trying to be the ones that like are into sports and that like are into guns,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, can like, you know, be one of the guys. Like, I'm gonna go play poker with you and the guys. They're trying to be something I don't want to say they're not because I don't know them enough, but they're definitely trying to play up what they think are going to attract men. They want to be the cool girlfriend, you know? And it's just like, I think you really need to be true to who you are and don't try to be someone else to attract a certain kind of person, you know, because it's not always going to be like that. And then now you're kind of giving up your interests because they think now your life becomes about their life specifically.
Sure.
Yeah. A little bit of dating advice for that one.
Seems like everybody needs it because they're all like super hot and can't get dates.
Actually, it was kind of funny. Someone on Reddit was trying to organize like kind of a Love is Blind online social experiment. But first of all, it was not exactly well thought out, I believe. And then also, I'm pretty sure it got taken down because this person was trying to charge money for their service. And it wasn't like super expensive, it was like $3. But I'm pretty sure what they were doing was you filled out a Google form and then they would have matched you up based on region and age. And then they would have just pretty much just sent you someone's like Reddit screen name and it was up to you to kind of message them.
That just sounds like a dating app, only like worse. You just set the filter to age and location and that's it.
Pretty much. So I actually was kind of thinking about, you know, like, oh, well, I feel like there's better ways to do something like that. And I was thinking about it, especially because now that we're kind of living in the age of virtual everything.
Right.
You know, like, how could you make this virtually happen? And I had some ideas. As we go on, I'll see how motivated I am to implement these ideas.
All right. We'll keep that going as the show goes on.
But for now, we'll be covering just one episode a week.
Yeah, an hour of this show is longer than an hour of the shows that have commercials. Like, that's something I definitely noticed. And you know what's nice about that is you don't get the stupid teasers. Like, here's what's coming up.
Actually, that's so true. It just happens. I appreciate that. There's definitely some good parts of that. All right. Well, until next week, we will be covering episode 2.
Which is, hint, the last episode of Pod Dating, right?
I think it might be. Good.
It's hard to cover.
It is very hard to cover. It's like, how do we start? But that's not for everyone else to worry about.
So we'll see everybody next week then.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Okay, bye.